Let's open with hymn number 200.
He lives to grant me
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob.
With you.
Let us pray.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank thee that of thine ineffable grace, for the sake of thy Son, thou hast given us the Holy Gospel, and hast instituted the Holy Sacraments, that through the same we may have comfort and forgiveness of sin. We beseech thee, grant us thy Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe thy word, and through the Holy Sacraments, day by day, establish our faith, until we at last obtain salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this first Sunday after Easter is found in the 32nd chapter of Genesis, verses 22 through 31. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Just as he crossed over Penuel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 5th chapter of 1 John, the 4th through the 10th verse. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son." Here ends the epistle lesson. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Hallelujah. This day is found in the 20th chapter of John, the 19th through the 31st verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here, and look at my hands. And reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We sing hymn 208.
Peace.
This morning is found in the first chapter of 1 Peter, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Christ Jesus, our Savior, there are two things that are called hope in this world that are not the same. There is what the scriptures call a living hope, and then there is what is properly termed a hope against hope. Our friends in the world hope against hope. They look for reasons to live, to persevere, and to endure. And because they find none, they then look for reasons to leave something lasting behind them because they do not know what will happen to them when they die. Most of these people believe in God, or a God. And if you ask them if they think that they are going to go to heaven when they die, they will almost always answer yes. And if you ask them why, they will almost always tell you that they think that they're good people who have done more good than evil. And if you ask them if they are absolutely certain that God will let them into heaven, then they will begin to waver. for they are not sure at all that God will find them adequate for his kingdom. They hope that God will judge them worthy of eternal life rather than hellfire, but truly they hope against hope, because they have no reason to believe that God will not send them to hell. In fact, their own conscience accuses them of their sins, and they are afraid to die, whether they admit it or not. And so most hope in this world is hope against hope, because without the revealed truth of God's word, the men of this generation are floundering in darkness, and they have no certainty that anything good will happen to them at all. Any dreams or aspirations that they have in this life or in the next is really just no better than a wish. And so it's not surprising to hear people speaking of hope as if it is something that sustains them, even though they don't really know whether their hope will be realized. But there is an answer to the hopes of all who wonder whether in death they will find a judge who condemns them for their sins. Because unlike their hopes and dreams, God is very real. And he has very real judgments to carry out upon all sinners. Hopes are useless when the object of hope is never to be had. It does no good to hope for heaven when in fact you are bound for hell. That kind of hope is rightly termed also a dead hope. But there is another hope that is living. It lives because the object of this hope is not a wish or a dream, but an absolute certainty. It is the hope which our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has given to us when he raised up Jesus from the dead and caused us to hear his word and to be born again. We bless God for this wondrous living gift, for it is the gift of new life. This life which he has given us, which he calls here the new birth, that we are begotten again, has been given to us through faith. Faith and living hope are closely related things. Faith is belief and trust in unseen things as if they are actually seen and known by experience. It is not faith to believe that the sky is blue unless you are a blind man and cannot see at all. And so also it is not faith to believe in a historical Jesus. But it is certainly faith to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. We know people live and die by experience, but we never see the dead come back to life in our experience. One can certainly look back into history and see that the disciples believed without any doubt that Jesus rose from the dead. By any standard of proof, the resurrection can be established as a fact. The only problem for modern forensically thinking man is that we don't have Jesus with us anymore to see him with our own eyes. For that, we rely upon the witness of those who did see him. We know from their writings that Jesus rose. But even the best eyewitness accounts are not enough for some people. Even people such as Thomas, who were so convinced that Jesus could not possibly have risen from the dead, that he demanded to see and to touch the wounds of Jesus before he would believe. When Jesus appeared to Thomas and offered up his hands and his side for inspection, he added the rebuke, "And be not faithless," that is, unbelieving, "but believing." For Jesus had just told his own apostles, his own disciples, that they were to speak for him to the world, forgiving and retaining sins with his voice. And now the whole world stands in that same place, between doubt and faith. For like Thomas, we only have the eyewitness testimony of the disciples. We only have their word now, which forgives or retains our sins. Just as they told Thomas, so they tell us. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Thanks be to God that he has caused us to be born again. in this living hope, so that you do not demand to see the wounds of Jesus for yourself before you will believe that he is risen. Not having seen the Lord, let yet you love him, because he first loved you. And so your hope is not a dead hope in a dead Lord. Yours is a living hope, because it is built upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It would be good to think of the biblical use of the word hope in this way. Hope is a memory of the future. Faith is belief and trust in what we have not seen, as if we had seen it. And hope is built upon this faith, and it is belief and trust in something that has not even yet happened, as if it has already happened, and we are merely just remembering it. Such faith and hope cannot be found in the world. It can only be found in Christ Jesus and in his word and sacraments. What is the nature of this new and living hope which is begotten in us through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? It's the most wonderful news that you have ever heard. It is like the happily ever after of all the old stories, except that this is no fairy tale. It is that you, who are poor and lonely and despised by the world and despising yourself because of your sins, have been adopted by the King and made a member of his own household. And you have been given an inheritance of a king who rules the most extravagant kingdom, with riches and treasures greater than all the kingdoms of the world. And your new father, the king, is the most benevolent of rulers. He loves you who are now his own children and is holding an inheritance in store for you. It has your name on it, and nothing and no one can take it away from you any more than Jesus, who is risen and glorified, can be slain once more and put back in the tomb from which he rose. This inheritance is yours, purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, and not because you were found worthy of it in yourself. And that, too, is wonderful news. Because this is God's gift of grace, it cannot possibly depend upon anything that you have done or failed to do. All you can do is receive it. But the nature of this inheritance is similar to any inheritance here below on earth. It is yours, even now. But it is not yet to be had. In the church, we have called this now, but not yet. John speaks the same way when he says in his first epistle, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." In order to have that which awaits, you must be kept. That is, you must be preserved in this faith by which you are saved and by which you are made the children of God by Christ in Christ Jesus. So that on the last day, when God reveals to you the fullness of your inheritance, you may enjoy the fruits of your salvation. But if you were always in doubt whether or not your faith would persevere until the end, your hope would not be a living hope. It would no longer be in that which is certain, and it would be no better than the hope that is in the world. It would certainly not be the hope that Jesus gave you, because he never gives a wavering hope or an uncertain promise. His hope is living and his word is true. And therefore know this, that you are kept unto salvation, which is ready to be revealed in you, to you, in the last time. The power which keeps you is the power of God himself. He does not save you only to throw you to the wolves and then tell you to defend yourself. He is your fortress, your mighty defender. He holds the devil and the world at bay so that you might receive your inheritance in his kingdom. The means by which he keeps you is your faith. Through faith, he has declared you to be righteous. And every time his word comes to you and declares that your sins, which are many, are forgiven, you are being kept for salvation. He gave us this means, as we heard in our gospel lesson, when he told the disciples, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And if you forgive the, if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And so whenever we hear that word of forgiveness, that is God speaking, and through it, we are kept in his grace. The more you hear his word of grace, where he forgives your sins, the more firmly you cling to him. And when you receive the Lord's Supper, you are being fed by this same grace. And the more loudly your heart condemns you, the more graciously the Lord shows to you his Son, Jesus Christ, and the wounds which he endured for you. As your sin looms greater in your mind, his grace is greater still. And in this way you are kept unto salvation by faith, so that your hope cannot fail. And our hope, which has been given to us by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, is a living hope, not only because God preserves us and protects us so that we might not fail, but also because the treasures which he holds in store for us also cannot fail. They are greater than any earthly treasure. In this world, there are many things, many treasures that seem at first glance to endure. Things like gold and silver and precious gems, which endure for thousands of years and can still be treasured by the inhabitants of this earth. And yet none of them are eternal. Even today, we can destroy them. And on the last day, they will all be burned up and lost when this world passes away. But the inheritance which awaits us never passes away. It cannot be burned up. It is incorruptible and undefiled. That means it never gets broken down. It never gets polluted or diluted in any way. And it is reserved in heaven for you. This hope is living not only because it's certain, but also because it continues to endure even through grievous earthly trials. It remains active where otherwise hope would fail. Nothing can take our hope in Christ away. And this gives us reason to rejoice greatly, even when it is necessary that we bear such trials. Peter says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials." Those words, "if need be," are precious, because they tell you that no trial which you bear is without need. Nothing that you endure is useless. God does not bring it upon you unless you need it. What a glorious truth that is. Even our trials are proof of God's care. Every trial is like what takes place when gold is tried by fire, when it is melted down to remove impurities, and yet when the fire is over, the gold remains. So it is with our faith in the fires of our earthly trials. And our faith is even more precious than the gold of this world, which will pass away. Our Lord cherishes it so greatly that even in the fiery trial, he does not allow it to fail. He burns away indeed our human dross, so that what remains is a fervent trust in him after every earthly prop falls away. All we are left with then is our Lord Jesus. And indeed, he is all that we need. It is true that we do not see him now. Nevertheless, we love him because he so loved us. His love is as certain as it is certain that he died for our offenses and rose again to justify us. And he is with us now and always, not only in that invisible form which we know is present everywhere, but especially in that which we can see and hear, in his word and in his sacraments, by which our faith is fed and through which we are kept unto salvation. May we therefore rejoice with joy inexpressible that in Christ Jesus we are now the children of God, with an inheritance that is kept in store for us in heaven as we look forward to that end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. O God of all grace, mercy, and peace, who by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead declared him to be thy Son and our Savior, and who by the faithful testimony of the apostles gave us assurance that our faith stands upon a most true and sure record, grant us thy Spirit, that our hearts may rest in thy truth. We thank thee for the gift of eternal life in thy Son. Preserve and defend us from all error, doubt, and unbelief, that we may hold fast to the profession of our faith. Save us from vain philosophies and worldly wisdom, and establish us in the truth of thy word. We lift up our hearts to thee in thanksgiving for thy word. Illumine us by its heavenly light, and instruct us by its saving truth, that we might bring forth the fruits of righteousness. Help us to always find therein our Jesus, our Lord, our risen Lord. Lead us to rejoice in him and grant that we may receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. Breathe upon thy church that it may faithfully preach thy word and proclaim the gospel of our risen Savior with courage and diligence in all lands and to all people. Enrich the schools of our churches that they may bring forth youth who walk in true faith and obedience to thy holy will. Hearken unto the inner yearnings of our hearts which seek thy help and favor, and give us the assurance of thy mercy by the forgiveness of our sins. And as we each must bear the cross, assure us that thou wilt not permit us to be tried above that we are able, but will strengthen us therein through the faith through the grace of Jesus Christ. Forgive now the sins of thy people. Strengthen the doubting and the faithless. Bring back the forgetful and the wayward, and comfort the anxious and the distressed. And as we go from this hallowed place this day, grant unto us all thy peace. This we pray in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We sing hymn 196.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. But chiefly are we bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Paschal Lamb which was offered for us and hath taken away the sins of the world, who by his death hath destroyed death, and by his rising to life again hath restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ, the Lamb of God, that takest away.
take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thank you.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same, in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 204. You and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.